Blog Talk Radio.
So scared of getting older, I'm only good at being young. So I play the numbers game to find a way to say that life has just begun.
Good morning and welcome to Who Are You Calling Old on this Thanksgiving week. But we all prepare to sit around the table, have a lot of great food, be with the people that we love, and watch football if you're kind of like my house. This is Shemaine Canton for Who Are You Calling Old, and today we have a guest that I'm waiting to call in, and it's Alan K. Patch. He's a retired captain of the United States Navy, and he's got a very interesting topic that's really very much in line with what's going on in the news today. It's how we define heroes in present day. The heroes and heroines in the media today take all shapes and forms. Aside from police, firemen, and military who sign up to be in harm's way, some are ordinary people who rise to meet extraordinary situations. Always more visible are the fictional characters portrayed by Hollywood celebrities, from The Incredibles to, of course, James Bond, most recently in Spectre, from comic book superheroes, Iron Man, to cinematic heroes, we are awed and entertained. But what of celebrity misnamed heroes, such as athletes? Are their efforts heroic or just inspiring, as well as entertaining? Ancient Greek and Roman history was so inspired by heroics that gods were created who not only had great power, but were also greatly flawed. In today's world, we bandy about the term hero without seemingly understanding the meaning of the word. Football players, basketball stars, actors, musicians, all referred to and refer to each other as heroes. Retired United States Navy Captain Alan Patch grew up in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where he developed a fascination with the heritage of our nation. Adding sciences to his interest in history, Alan earned a B.S. in biology from Boston College and a D.M.D. from Tufts University. He then spent over two decades in the Navy, deployed in both Navy hospitals and in active duty with the Marine Corps, and entered private dental practice while serving in the Naval Reserve. The first novel in his series to explore the confluence of the past and the present and future is Passage at Delphi. He invites readers along for the thrilling ride and explores the difference between heroism and celebrity in the context of the past and present culture. So he is here. He's going to be here to talk about it. I've contacted his publicist. And hopefully they'll be on. If they're not, then we're going to have a shortened show, which probably will work for people in particular. If you're like me, I am up to my eyeballs in ingredients for one meal that is, a big deal here. So in the meantime, I'd like to take a little time out to discuss heroes in particular, given what happened in the last few weeks in Paris and the state we are in at the moment. We had the terror attacks that took place in Paris, for which my heart goes out to all of the Parisians, the French people, who suffered, who lost people, and as a country had to deal with the face of terror and people who have no conscience about pushing their agenda forward. But I also want to give them a lot of credit because the French people are carrying on with their lives. Their president announced that they will still accept refugees and so forth. And to me, that's stepping above a lot. That's raising yourself above. You're above the situation. And I give him a lot of credit for it. Now, I understand that today we have a lot to worry about with security. My brother-in-law is a veteran as well of the Air Force. My late grandfather was a veteran from World War II. He was in the Army. So I understand security. And I understand that after 9/11, we were forever changed here on our soil. We were also forever changed by the Civil War here on our soil, where we fought one another. Now that we are in a situation where we have Syrian refugees who are coming by, I mean, the tens of thousands, and I'm sure many of you have seen the reports of young children, some dying right in the water, I mean, just heartbreaking, to get away what seems to be some sort of genocide by their very own country and their very own people and their own rulers. And it's just incredible to note. And they're trying to escape these things. They need solace. They need refuge. So what do? We concern ourselves with our safety. Yes, I get it. After those two towers were taken down, I was watching television that morning, that very morning on 9/11. It was one of the most beautiful days here in New York I'd seen in forever. I mean, it was a clear day, and you could see forever. It was gorgeous that day, only to be marred by something so horrific and something that is so deeply imprinted on our minds and within our souls, I believe. And it rattled us to the core, necessarily. And then that's what had to happen. And I mean, it happened. But we have soldiered on since. We've engaged in wars across the Atlantic. And it's kind of been a never-ending thing. Now, we have to remember something that I want to make clear. Here at Who You Calling Old, I want to make sure that I don't want to make any political kind of thing where I'm saying, you're wrong, you're right, you're this. This is me. It's not necessarily Blog Talk Radio's opinion. This is not something that they are supporting or they're giving me the atta girl kind of thing. I just want to make sure that that's clear. What I'm saying is has to do with my opinion alone, and I take responsibility for that alone. That said, the idea of the Syrian refugees and what's going on in our country right now and dealing with a group like ISIS that's online and doing different things and basically yelling boo on our computers and really trying to recruit people who are disenfranchised and say, hey, you come on over here and you're going to get this going and we're going to make that happen. And, you know, you'll get something good out of it. Puts you in the mind of somebody that's awful, like Hitler. Hitler preyed on that. Preyed on insecurities, preyed on these things. So what do we do? What do we do about it? How can we protect ourselves? How can we make it so that we are fortified and that we don't fall into fear? That's the worst thing that can ever happen, is fear. We know that the First Amendment provides us with free speech. However, it does not allow us to yell fire in a movie theater. So what can we do so that we're not letting our elected officials or anyone else yell fire in a movie theater and then then just send us into this panic. Now, there's a difference between being vigilant and being panicked. If you're panicked, people who are panicked make bad decisions. If you allow yourself to fall into panic, you will make a bad decision. If you're vigilant about something, then you're giving yourself a chance to make a decision that is well thought out, considered, measured, and strikes the right note and tone. Let's remember, one of the most famous people to be denied refuge for the United States is one that's talked about quite a bit. And it's a book that many of us have read, The Diary of Anne Frank. Anne Frank's family was denied refuge in the United States. She and her family went on to die at the hands of the Nazis. And that's because they didn't get the refuge. They weren't able to become refugees here in the United States. Who knows what Anne Frank would have been in her life? In her short life, she did make a difference. And her diary is a testament to her bravery, to her eloquence. And her voice has been heard over the course of many, many years now. Now it's time for us to look in the mirror and say, okay, what do we want to do? We want to be safe. Yes, let's be safe. That's going to happen. We want to make that clear. Just remember that according to, now I may be wrong, and if anybody wants to go, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Please don't email me. Don't send me things. Don't send me messages about it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I will admit to being wrong. If you find out that's the case, that's the case. But it's my understanding from the things that I've read that one person used a fake Syrian identification to be involved in the attacks in Paris. One. I don't know what the number of people that are coming out of Syria, but I can sure guess that is way more than one. Okay. So if you have one out of, let's just even say 100,000, so you're going to let the one dictate for the 100, for everybody else that they can't come anywhere, because they obviously have to be just like this other person, just like this person. That's insane. And we talk about being a tolerant society. We don't want to judge books by covers. We don't want to give into stereotypes of any sort, whether they're based on race, creed, or religion. We don't want to have those stereotypes. We've lived that life, and we need to rise above it. Because when it all is said and done, the one thing that we can see from Paris is that when someone has made up their mind to cause damage and to try to inflict harm on others, their minds made up. What's left for us to do is to be there, to stand up and be heroes. We're not Iron Man. We're not James Bond. We don't have all the great little gadgets and things. But you know what we have? We do have strength, and we do have courage. And there was much courage shown in Paris by those many people that actually got in front of bullets, were covering other people. This is a testament to courage. Terrorism is the epitome of fear and fear-mongering and cowardice. Get into a little group all together and terrorize. You're a nameless, faceless thing. Put things over your face. You believe in what you believe so strongly that you have to cover your face. That's a coward in my book. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, if I believe in something, I have to sign my name to it. I'm not going to give myself a nickname. I'm not going to wear something. I'm not going to put some mask over my face and try to disguise my voice. If you believe it, then believe it and say it. Put your face out there. That's courage. Putting a cloak over yourself says, I'm going to do this stuff to you, but I just want to, but we're going to do it in the shadows because you want to be the boogeyman. Well, if you were like me, young, growing up, many of us had fears of the boogeyman. You know, monsters underneath your bed, you know, little things that went bump in the night when you went to sleep. And eventually we learned how to deal with that and what the reality was. We had nothing to fear. We really didn't. Once we came to that conclusion, a sense of peace and a sense of strength that we gained as a result. I'd love to see that in this country again. The idea of whipping up people's fears and living off of that and just kind of getting everybody worried about everything is, I just don't know what to say about it. I like to say other things about it, but I just don't want to go down that rabbit hole specifically. But it's easy to sit down and just kind of whip people up and get everything all frenzied. But in my case, how I feel about it is the idea is to get people together and realize that there's strength in numbers and there's strength in this country. We consider ourselves the best, the brightest, the number one. We are the leaders of the free world. What does it look like when we turn into, oh, we're gonna not close our borders? We got that Statue of Liberty out there with that wonderful book and what it says about give us your tired. And now we're gonna go, oh, no. Well, we don't want this because you could do this and you could do this. I'm sorry. It can happen to anybody at any particular time. But that, again, requires vigilance. Why not pursue that? Why not pursue that? Don't pursue the basis of human emotion, which is fear and hatred and what unfortunately may turn down to be bigotry as well. You can't do that. I mean, you can, but think about it. Somebody's bigoted about someone in some way, whether you're male, female, transgendered, gay, whatever it is. Somebody's got something to say about your life. Can you imagine if they were allowed to just whip everything all up? We've been through many battles. We've seen some things happen now that I never thought I would ever see in my life. Same-sex couples can not only get married, they're on television now, and they're part of advertising campaigns. Interracial couples were at one time not allowed to get married. Not only are they getting married, they have commercials now with interracial couples, with children, and with, you know, in different things for many different products. These are things I never saw growing up, but I'm now seeing. And that's progress. Let's keep progressing. The one thing about getting older is that we should be getting wiser. And that's what it's about. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from history. And I'm so very sorry that Captain Patch did not join us today. And I don't seem to have anything here from the publicist, so I assume that something may have happened. So I'm going to end the show today. I want to do it on a high note by saying, it's Thanksgiving week, and I sincerely hope that you have a wonderful and a fantastic Thanksgiving with everyone that matters to you, a life full of love, fond memories of those who may be gone now and are no longer at the table, but a chance for you to make new memories, have new laughs, new jokes, maybe a tear or two, and maybe even an extra piece of pumpkin pie or cheesecake or something like that. Just wear loose clothes. Let it go for a day. I mean, you know, we're counting carbs and everything else the rest of the year. Have a go for the day, because you know they're going to beat that devil out of us come January 2nd. In the meantime, I sincerely wish you a very happy and very healthy, warm, loving, and wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us on Who You Calling Old. This is Shemaine Canton, and thankfully the next time we have the show, I believe we're going to have Lloyd, and we'll be wrapping up the year and taking a peek at what might be coming along in 2016, and we won't be just talking about the elections. Have a great day, one and all.
Just begun.